Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, everyone. Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What is up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? Thank you for joining us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Yes, hope you're happy to be here. I'm happy to be here. I am not so happy that the list is dwindling down. 16 more songs left to go, and that is just sad news. But, you know, it's not sad, the fact that we still got plenty more show left to do. Don't get your hopes up just yet. We are going to be doing a live show soon, but we'll get into that later. If you are new, you're just joining us on the show, we are the podcast that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. And we do it one track at a time. I am your co-host, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Hey, Corey, how's it going in the Great White North?
It's pretty white, actually. It's pretty foggy, actually, because we went from minus 30 to minus 7 in the span of a day. So that usually brings with it a hell of a lot of fog. So I was out of town all day. I'm lucky I'm here. I'm glad I made it. I made it with about 20 minutes to spare, getting ready for the show here tonight and getting ready for a live show. Those take a little bit of work on our part, but we're getting everybody's rankings in, going to have them all tabulated. And, if you're listening to this as the show drops on Friday, later tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern, we're going live to rank OU812. And I got to tell you, early results are in and it's anybody's ballgame. There is no runaway for any of the positions except for last. Last has been pretty much cemented, but everything else is right up for grabs. I think most everybody has a different number one, actually. So it's really going to be an interesting breakdown of OU812.
That is that's right. Live tonight, Friday night, live show to discuss OU812 and rank the tracks. And we talked a little bit about that before going on air, that for me personally, my upper rankings, or at least my like top three spots, were pretty much a no-brainer for me, as well as what was going to end up last. It was that middle section, though. The middle section was really, really difficult. And I'm really, really curious to see how everyone else voted and ranked their listings for the tracks on OU812, including this man, our resident patron, our extended family member, just overall good dude and staple of the show at this point, Michael Griffith. Welcome back to the show, my dude.
Oh, thanks, guys. Always good to be here.
Absolutely, man. Cannot wait. Are you excited for the live show?
I'm very excited. I was pre-gaming. I was listening to the record a couple hours ago. And I agree, that middle section, I kind of know next to last. That was easy for me. And 1, 2, 3 was, but 4 to 8 was very difficult. So it could be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But my 1 through 3
almost sent another email to change it, Corey, but I said, no, I'll go.
Thank you. You have until tomorrow. You have until Thursday as we're recording this. But, you know, even my 1, 2, 3 have been changing around. I was listening to it again on my drive today, and I'm like, you know what? I think I ranked this one too low because I was really enjoying it. I know on the show I was maybe a little too hard on it. So I'm revising my rankings as we go along, too. So if you got to resubmit them, that's totally cool. You have until like midnight Thursday to get your revised rankings in.
But if you're listening to the show as our regular listener, then it's too late.
You're way
too late.
Rankings
are already in. So tune into the live show to see where we placed them. I was pretty determined in my thinking that I was going to have a different top three than everybody else. But now I'm not so sure. So that just makes it all the more intriguing and interesting. And I can't wait to see people rip my number one apart because I know that they will.
Well, it won't be the instrumental because there isn't one, but I've had a few people email in and say, I bet you my top three are different than everybody else's. And so we've had a real wide range. You name a song on OU812, it's somebody's number one, except for the song that's in number 10, which, for all the people who submitted rankings,
or number 9.
Yeah, you know which one that is. No, we're doing all 10. We're doing a political blues too.
I forgot about that one. Yeah, I have to revise my list.
Get that one in. So yeah, the one that's in number 10 is pretty much submitted there. Everything else is a crapshoot.
So actually, no, you know what? You can. I know exactly where to put. Nope, I'll have to tell you later. Never mind. I don't want to spoil the show. So be sure to tune in to our YouTube channel and the podcast will rock for the live show later tonight. But we're getting way ahead of ourselves. Instead, let's focus on the here and now, right at this very moment. Corey, there has been quite a bit of Van Halen-esque related news going on in the internet as of lately. So I have to assume there's more stuff to talk about. So what's going on at the Van Halen news desk?
There is a ton. So we'll go through it very quick. And there's even a piece that hasn't even made the Van Halen news desk yet that we'll talk about at the end here. But let's check it out. Engineer Ross Hogarth defends Eddie Van Halen's replacement of Michael Anthony with Wolfgang. I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer for Van Halen fans, because without Wolfie, there's no reunion tour and there's no A Different Kind of Truth. That's just the long and short of it. Eddie just wanted to play with his kid. I'm a parent. I get that. I think any parent would kind of get that. It sucks for Mikey and all the fans of Mikey, us all included. Love to see him go out one more time with Mikey. But Eddie just wanted to play with his kid. I totally get that, and so does Ross Hogarth. Yeah. So I never did get that criticism.
Did you guys remember when that first broke, when they announced that reunion tour, and on the Van Halen website, they scrubbed out Mikey on the Van Halen one?
That was too far.
Replaced it with Wolf.
Yeah.
That was disrespectful.
I think that's what kind of created some of the animosity.
Well, that's a good point.
They go, oh, we're sorry, and they put it back to Mikey, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
But I definitely don't. I don't blame Wolfie on that one, because I don't think that's his. I hope that wasn't his idea. It doesn't seem like it would be. But I mean, honestly, look, the band is still called Van Halen, and you just added another Van Halen to the mix. So you got like 3/4 of the way there. You know, all that was left is if they had a vocalist, a lead vocalist in the family, then there you go. Like, no more Dave. Well, that probably wouldn't have happened, but you get what I'm saying. I thought it was a very fine addition. While sad about, you know, the Michael situation, as you all know, we're big fans, but understandable. I defend the choice as well.
All right. You guys ever hear a band called Green Day?
They've
been in the news quite a bit. They had a new record drop called Saviors. If you're a fan of Green Day, it's actually not that bad. I picked it up. It's pretty decent. But as part of the interview cycle for that, Green Day were on the Howard Stern show. And a young Billy Joe Armstrong at 12 years old saw Van Halen and talked about what a transformative experience that was for him in 1984. He cried because he got to see Van Halen at 12. And then he told a really weird story about seeing them again in 07. Where he got to go backstage and meet Eddie, and apparently Eddie wept at the sight of Billy Joe Armstrong and said, "You're the only one who gets me." And everyone's kind of like, well, that's pretty weird for Eddie to say to a guy he just met. But I kind of go back to Billy Joe Armstrong at this time was having real issues with alcohol. So I'm thinking maybe he's not the most reliable narrator, and maybe he was a little drunk at that point, and maybe he's misremembering, because that does seem kind of like a weird thing for a sober Eddie to say while crying while meeting Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day.
That is a real that is odd. We'll chalk that up to let's pretend for a second that's how it went down, and I'm sure there's more to it that for context that we don't know. But I don't know. I'm kind of with you on that whole thought process of like I think Billy was just misremembering due to, you know, reasons A through C. It's interesting though that he would say Van Halen, seeing Van Halen at 12 was so transformative, because he has been. Like any interview you see with him, the behind the music, everything like that, Billy's always been very stern about how he wanted to be punk, and he was listening to punk music, and it was all about punk and nothing else. It's like, well, Van Halen's not punk. So it's interesting that you would call that a transformative experience. I believe him when he says that, because you're 12 years old and you're watching Eddie Van Halen. Why wouldn't that be? But it's not punk rock. So it's I don't know. That's just an interesting admission, you know what I mean?
Well, and is Green Day punk rock? Like, really? Like, the way it's structured, like, melodically, it's not really. Lyrically, sure, I guess some stuff, but even, like, how they structure a solo, it's kind of more mainstream.
Yeah. I would say in their early days, they had some tracks that were very, you know, punk-esque, but overall, no, I would never call it. Green Day, has always been alt-rock.
All right, well, one of the big ones that dropped on the Van Halen news desk, David Lee Roth put out a new video called The Ballad of Popsicle Sam. And it's just him just kind of fucking poking Sammy Hagar, saying Sammy Hagar was abducted by aliens and sex
probe. Pun intended.
Yeah, no shit. Sex probe by aliens. He talks about, you know, how for many years David Lee Roth took the high road. So he's high road Dave. He never will sink to anyone's level, except for just right now, of course, where he goes out and just trashes Sammy Hagar and his abduction by aliens and his sex probing. And actually, I think it was today, and actually it was in our Discord server, somebody posted a new video by David Lee Roth called That Crazy Kid, where he talks about that crazy kid Wolfgang, Wolfgang was always whining that Dave doesn't pay enough attention to me, blah, 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 and just kind of ripping on Wolfie too. And it's like, Jesus Christ, dude, shut up.
I mean, have we checked to see if, like, Dave's okay, like, up here, you know,
some of that video, and he's basically saying Wolf's only popular because his last name is Van Halen, kind of inferring he's not very talented, which he's very, very talented. Yeah. I mean, I've seen him a few times.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Dave actually does a interview with Jesus Christ, the original Nepo baby.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Where Jesus is like, oh, yeah, I'd be totally fucking cool if my last name wasn't Christ. It's like, Jesus, like, you're just constantly taking the, like, now you're going after Wolfgang, like, fuck off.
It's just something, I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to say, with a different kind of truth, you know, the whole thing that it's not streaming, and Wolf said, hey, it's Roth blocking everything. There's something going on behind the scenes with maybe those two fighting over legal stuff, because Wolf's probably the one saying, dude, what's your problem? Why won't you just put this on? You know, I don't think Al's saying that.
Yeah, no, that was, you're 100% right. Yeah. Wolfie's come out and said the main roadblock is Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And now here, Wolfie's getting some more attention. He's going to be on Jimmy Kimmel actually tonight as we're recording this, doing a song. Right. And of course, Sammy got a lot of headlines because he's doing the Best of All Worlds tour. No one's talking about Dave, so Dave's got to come out and, you know, I guess sling some arrows.
It's what we always talk about. He's got to, when there's something happening Van Halen news wise and he's not involved, he's got to do something to make himself relevant again, whether it's putting out a re-recording of an old song that sounds way, way worse than it ever could possibly before, or making a very just horrible video talking shit about, you know, this. I mean, he's not a kid, but for lack of a better term, like, horrible shit about this kid who, you know, the kid of, you know, your former bandmate, the guy, you know, the guys who put you on the map, you know what I mean? It's just like, it just, Dave is a bitter bastard. Let's just put it that. He's old and mean. He's a bitter bastard. So that's what it is. And, you know,
but Scott,
whether that's going to influence your voting for Dave songs later on down the road as we finish, Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Yeah.
Scotty Everett in the chat. No, he's not okay. He's lost his damn mind. He's ticked that Wolf is such pull on business decisions now, which I guess he could be. As Scott Everett points out, I don't think he likes that Wolf is getting 50% of a different kind of truth and Dave's only getting 25.
Ah, well, if that's
right?
The
that
case,
makes sense.
Then, yeah.
I have something there.
Yeah.
I mean, part of me wonders if it's all just like a money thing or if it's a sentimental thing, like with Wolfie and just like, this is, hey, I played on this record with my dad. And like this is like one of our, you know, the one of the only collaborations that we have on record. I want to share that. I want to continue sharing that with people. Stop being such a dick.
And he comes off like such a dick in this Wolf. I was just watching it before we hopped on the call here. And he's like, oh, and then we're at the Hollywood Bowl, our last ever show, and I'm reminiscing about me and the brothers playing at Kazari's, and this fucking kid is trying to get this chick I had pointed out, kicked out of the show, and blah, blah, blah. It just sounds like a total dick. It's like,
why are you being an unnecessary asshole? God, man, like, just fuck off.
And that's a bad idea to do against
Wolfie.
I think
it's jealousy. Yeah, exactly. I think it's jealousy because I think he even back then he saw that Wolfie was probably destined for something really great because he's uber talented. And Dave has to be the most talented guy in the room. He has to be where all the eyes are. Yeah. And if they skew away, then he's got to find a way to make it about him once again. So what was it I said? Bitter bastard. So there you go.
But I tell you,
you can quote. Quote me.
Absolutely. But if you come after Wolfie, he'll give it right back to you, as another Twitter user found out this week, who just on the Jimmy Kimmel tweet pointed out, like, oh, this kid, you know, why name your band Mammoth? That was your dad's band's name, and like, you're a piece of shit. And of course, Wolfie just eviscerated him on Twitter. Like, Wolfie's in such a no-win situation. If I call it Wolfgang Van Halen, because I played everything and it's my music, if I called it my name, people would say I'm a fucking Nepo baby because I'm coasting on the Van Halen name. So I called it Mammoth, and everyone's bitching about that. Like, he can name it, you know, haters can suck my dick, and he'd probably still get shit for that.
Like, dude, Twitter's going to Twitter, you know, we know that. So but I do love that Wolfie takes the time to address these complainers and trolls and be like, all right, listen here, motherfucker, and just lets them have it. But I got to imagine he's probably just way exhausted from that. My opinion, dude, just don't engage. Just block them all.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on from Dave.
Yeah.
I guarantee you at some point Dave's going to put together an all-star band and they're going to tour, Van Halen Classics too, just because Sammy did. But
probably
2025. All right. Back to the news. Watch Van Halen 1984 40th Anniversary Special Part 2. That's the special with the 5150 show put that on with Greg Renoff and Chris Gill. An absolute must watch for Van Halen fans. You can catch the link and all that stuff at the Van Halen News Desk. Then we have another great Debbie Pinkney story. We talked about her last week and kind of her recollections of Van Halen. There's another great story here. The day I rode an elevator with Alex Van Halen. I'm not going to ruin any of it. You can go read that on the Van Halen News Desk. Sammy Hagar found out his real biological surname as part of a TV show. It's the Red Rocker Sammy Belcher. No, it's that's what apparently his last name really is, Sammy Belcher. So,
oh, wow. Yeah. Belcher. Okay.
For more context on that one, go to the Van Halen News Desk. And then we have Greg Renoff interviewing Don Landy. Man, that is just two geniuses going at it there. Got to check that one out. And finally, for all the people who maybe missed the Record Day store release of Live Right Here Right Now on vinyl, it's coming back for LP, 180-gram black vinyl, so not the red that we all got as part of the record store release, but you still got your chance to get Live Right Here Right Now on vinyl featuring the three live tracks that were not included on the original release. So all fans of Van Halen and fans of vinyl should go check that one out. And that is the Van Halen News. Of course, you can get it all at Van Halen News Desk.
Yeah, all right. Right on. So, okay. All that news, where do we go from here? I'll tell you where we go. We go to last show, and we talk about When It's Love. Speaking of Sammy Belcher, a.k.a. Sammy Hagar, a fine, I would say, one of his top-tier songs that they put together during the Hagar era, When It's Love from OU812. And this one, I was pretty sure was going to the voting was going to go a certain way. And lo and behold, it did. I was pretty sure it was not going to crack 90% because none of the Sammy songs do, because people have hangups. So I was thinking maybe 80. It deserves to be at least like 80%. And I was surprised because at 81.9, almost 82%, we got the high votes of What Dreams Are Made Of versus an 18.1%, The Dream Is Over. Corey, did you expect this to be higher or lower?
Yeah, I kind of thought it might have hit like 84, 85. But I'm not shocked at right on 82. If you kind of look at our all-time show rankings here, When It's Love comes in at 56, 81.9%. So that's right below Fools from Women and Children First, and right above The Seventh Seal from Balance.
Oh.
So 56, we've done 115 tracks, so pretty much right in the middle, kind of where you expect maybe the best power ballad of the 1980s to be.
All right. Well, let's see what people are saying about When It's Love, because I just got to know. I got to know. I mean, it's a power ballad for the ages, but I know a lot of our listeners are very verbal in speaking how they are not into the ballads of Van Halen, particularly of the Hagar era. So what are people saying? We go over to our friend and patron, Heath McCoy. He's been quiet lately, but he's chiming in on this one. He says, I have nothing against power ballads. I love the best of them. But when the sap is so thick, it drowns the power, as the Sappo Sam does on When It's Love, I cringe. It's a shame because Ed and Al are so inventive here. But God damn it, this is Van Halen for soccer moms. Egregious, he says. Egregious. I mean, I acknowledge that you feel that way, Heath. Do I agree with it? Not really, but hey, it's that you do you, man. All right, so there you go. I'm going to assume that meant he voted it down with the whole egregiousness. So let's see. Rave of Flav says, how will I know when it's love? They should have called it, how do I know that this isn't Toto? Next! And then he threw in a picture of I can't remember his name, from Saturday Night Live, saying, I'm not a fan. So there's another downvote. And here's the thing. We're on a roll here, because normally when we see a percentage of downvotes, we don't get people's explanation as to why most of the time.
Yep.
So, but now we're getting it. So thank you guys. I appreciate it.
What's wrong
it.
With Toto?
Right? Yeah. What is wrong with Toto? Like, when did this become a, we'll get into that later other time. Our friend Kevin Brown says, hashtag What Dreams Are Made Of, the best power ballad ever written. Deal with it. He's just firing at everybody. Just pow, pow, pow. Deal with it. I love that. Short and sweet and to the point. He even included a picture of himself spinning the OU812 vinyl album. So good on you. Good on you. I'm sorry. Rave of Flav, he expands on his thought process. He goes, a pretty good song. The lyrics are, as discussed, pretty standard. All four members are outstanding on this one, so much so that the sum of the song doesn't measure up. This is one of those rare Van Halen songs that fall into that, I could see this being a different band's song. Hashtag, the dream is over for me. So, okay, cool. I appreciate all of you that are making the effort to explain your reason as to why you say no go. So thank you, Rave of Flav. Let's see here. We're going to Jeff Brewer says, not enough room here to explain the dichotomy between my issues with this song and the upvote I gave it. Discord will eventually have the explanation. The song's current score seems appropriate, so I will go to there to the Discord here and momentarily, just making sure that all the tweets, and I think that's it. So then we're going to go over to the Discord. And you guys, I'm reading out specific tweets because these are our patrons. And if you want your tweet and access to the Discord guaranteed read live on the air, then join our Patreon. It's a good time. Lots of discussions here. So forgive me. I'm searching.
I'm going to read some comments from our chat that we got going here. Scott Everett, love DL Harbor this week is just pissing me off. So unnecessary. I think a lot of people feel that way, myself included. Michael Triplett says the only way Dave will get tour traction is by bringing the Eat 'Em and Smile Band. We already know that reunion was supposed to happen, didn't happen, and probably will never happen, unfortunately, according to Steve Vai. But Jeff Brewer, if Dave is doing, where'd he go here? If Dave is doing an all-star band to do Van Halen songs, he's going to have to hire a singer also. Hey-oh, that's the comment of the night so far right there. Scott Monroe talking about when it's love. Boil that sap, make some syrup, and pour it on the cheese. Yum. Exactly. Who doesn't like syrupy cheese? Come on.
Michael Tripp. Indeed.
How do I know it's not Toto? Right. That's hilarious. But did he hold the line? Oh, I see what you did there. Yeah.
Nicely done.
Toto was great. Right. They don't play like Van Halen. It should be vice versa. Yeah, I guess so.
Discord, the mini festos. Here we go. And we got some whoppers.
They're turning into maxi festos. You may have to self-edit some of these. Like I know Kevin Brown said, just read the last paragraph of mine.
Yeah, and sorry, Kevin. I would love to read that full-on manifesto you wrote. Not even a mini one. That's a full-on. But I'm going to take your advice and just read that last bit.
Yeah.
What's that?
That's a value add, though, for people to sign up to the Patreon. Come on, Discord, and read these great manifest mini festos and maxi festos. They're fucking phenomenal. I love going through
absolutely
every single week.
That.
They're quite a mouthful to get out every week for poor Mark, but maybe a little value add for the folks to join our Discord.
This is what you pay for. So here you go. So we start with Scott Monroe because he's always got some good thought process in his voting. When It's Love is absolutely what dreams are made of. And spoiler alert, it ranks number 3 on my OU812 ranking. So there you go. I won't repeat the story I told on the show about my personal connection to the song, but I do want to expand a bit on the notion of musical diversity. And I have to wholeheartedly agree with Chaz Charles, another patron, that this is Van Halen light. And I see that as a good thing. It's certainly more on the easy listening side of things with appeal to the general public. You'll hear it played in the grocery store or at the dentist. There are many Van Halen tunes to quench my thirst for party rock or pop metal jamming. And there are songs like this one. If I'm in the mood for a ballad with an emotional, uplifting sensibility, I understand if that approach hits a listener as inauthentic, and that's cool, but Sammy's singing the hell out of it like usual, and Eddie's playing has such personality. It may be Van Halen light, but there's still the Van Halen flavor that elevates the experience. It feels authentic to me. Underline that shit. I'd probably feel differently if this light approach came to completely define the Hagar era of Van Halen, but it doesn't. It's just one shard in the spectrum of Van Halen awesomeness to suit your mood on a given day. And if there's it's there if you need it, and it lasts forever. Nicely said, Scott, and I wholeheartedly agree. And we're going to scroll down all this shit to this last bit for Kevin Brown. Again, he says a lot, so join our Patreon, get on the Discord, and read what he has to say. But lastly, he goes, last note on the lyrics. What's wrong with a love song? I can't tell you, but it lasts forever. That captures the ephemeral nature of true love in 8 simple words. Everybody's looking for something to fill in the holes. We think a lot, but don't talk much about it till the things get out of control. Again, sums up the human condition and touches also on mental health and our failure to address it for so many years. Love wins, people. Love always wins. So when somebody writes a really good song about the subject, I just don't know how you criticize it. If Dance the Night Away was Eddie Van Halen writing the perfect pop song in 1978, this is him doing exactly the same thing 10 years later, being attuned to what people are listening to and writing something that is distinctly un-Halen, but at the same time, what only Van Halen could pull off. I don't know how you could ballyhoo one and boo the other. I love both songs dearly, but this one is far more interesting musically to me. Hashtag what dreams are made of. Boom! Kevin Brown with all that. And absolutely, you guys, if you haven't read his manifesto there, go ahead and do that. I see on Discord somebody gave you the puke emoji. I'm going to assume that was probably Chaz. All right.
No, Chaz Let's wouldn't see. Do that.
Don't agree. Oh, lame. He... Forget it.
Josh said, definitely prefer the lyrical content to this song over Love Walks In. and in parentheses, alien tummy sticks. So it's just a little for fun here. Jeff Brewer, here we go. This is the expansion of what he was trying to say on Twitter. I've never before seen so much lipstick on one pig. I'm going to continue to Ballyhoo, Dance the Night Away, and Boo When It's Love, because one is awesome and the other is less than awesome. I have a bunch to say, but I don't have time right now. I don't hate the song nearly as much as it may have appeared. I don't think the song is an example of Eddie Van Halen genius. I'm not a fan of the lyrics, which is okay, and I'm not a fan of some of Sam's vocal delivery decisions. Ooh, okay. I maintain that this is not Van Halen's wheelhouse. This is Journey / Toto territory. So, listen to Faithfully, Open Arms, or even Lovin', Touchin', Squeezin', where Sam lifted the na 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 outro idea, unless he got it from Hey Jude. Sure. I don't change the station when it comes on. I still love Van Halen. Unfortunately, there are some Van Halen songs that I like a lot better than others. And on those others, I feel the need to mock them in order to feel better about myself. I will be editing this post with something more profound when I get the time. I gotta go. Lovely manifesto, though, Kevin. So Jeff's was also his personal feelings plus a commentary on Kevin's whole production of manifesto. So again, join the Patreon, get on the Discord, and you can read the back and forth for yourself. But thank you for expanding on that, Jeff. I don't agree with any of what you said, but it's fine. All right. See. That's just a Chad, our buddy, our new patron Chad says, "When it's love, I like yacht rock and anything that resembles yacht rock. I'm all in on this song." Simply put, enough said. And now we get to our buddy Sean McGinnity, who he posted it on here because he knew it would get lost on Twitter, and guess what? It did. So Sean McGinnity says, just in case it gets lost on Twitter, I'm reprinting this here. My thoughts on When It's Love, OU812 was my first Van Halen that was mine, all mine. By this point, Fast Fret had left the nest. No more stealing Todd's cassettes and listening intently at his door as he somehow mastered every Van Halen song. This album was me growing up and seeing if I was a Van Halen fan without Todd. But like Todd, learning Ed's parts, this time it was me learning Alex's parts and the complexities of Mine Oh Mine, AFU, and Finish What You Started blew my mind. When It's Love has a lot of syrup and schmaltz, but the layers and textures Alex added elevated this more than any throwaway pop song. The keyboard is fine, and Sammy's lyrics are fine, but thank God this is Van Halen, because Sammy is good enough to out-sing his sometimes blah lyrics. I agree. And Eddie jumping back on the guitar saves what might just be a simple pop song. Look, I understand at this point in music, every band worth their California had 1 to 2 ballads per album they must have been contractually obligated to. But this ain't Poison. But here is the great thing about Van Halen over everyone else. I may not have loved Van Halen doing ballads at the time they came out, but now, as I hope, a wiser Sean-O-Rama, I can truly hear the complexities in the writing. They may seem stock on straight listen, but they just ain't so. Alex is incapable of doing stock, and so is Eddie, for that matter. Sammy does have some stock lyrics, but he too is capable of bringing it on such masterpieces like Mine Oh Mine. This song may not have all the pieces perfect, but it's still Van Halen, and that right there, I think, sums it up and why I get so frustrated when everyone just kind of like poo-poos all of the Hagar era, like all of the Hagar era, saying it's like, that's not Van Halen. It's like, yes, it is. It is Van Halen. It's just not the Van Halen you want it to be. And, you know, the expectations, and I get it, when we as fans grow close to a musical act of any sort, that becomes our thing. We hold this unnecessary attachment to it. So when it goes astray into a direction you're not thinking it will or should, what that is the band experimenting and getting outside the box. But here come these fans that want to keep them in the box. Like, no, this is my box. And I just don't agree with that. I don't think that's productive. So And let's see. And then Scott Everett says, best power ballad of all time. Love that this isn't everyone's Van Halen, which means there is some actual diversity where everything doesn't sound the same like AC/DC. He's out of line, but he's right. You can't put Van Halen in a single bucket. Nice to have songs that you can share with your significant other. Drop Dead Legs doesn't work on a mixtape in 1988. Love it. I mean, well, it depends on the mixtape there, Scott. It could work.
Right,
it could
work.
So, well, while we're on it, before we move on, Michael, man, what are your thoughts on When It's Love?
So one thing too, I mean, this was the first really video of the band. Because, you know, 5150, it was just Live Without a Net clips and Dreams, you know, Blue Angels. This is like, we see the band in a video. And back then, I mean, this is, for me anyway, it was like the first time I saw the Van Hagar band together on a video. So in the video, I thought was cool. I actually got a dumb Mickey Mouse t-shirt because Mikey was wearing one in the video. And I thought that was cool. But I thought the video was cool, and I don't think, you know, it is kind of their first official one. I like the song. I agree with you guys. I mean, it shows their diversity. You had to make a, I think they probably were asked to make a ballad, probably by Warner, and they made a good one. And it's 1988. It's not, you know, if it came out today, I would have put thumbs down, but it came out then. And you have to kind of put yourself back in that time period.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah, Jeff well Rear maintains it's poo-poo Van Halen. Scott wanted him to air the grievances, so Jeff says, definite grievance, going to the Monsters of Rock and hearing Kill 'Em All, and then When It's Love.
Look, man, you can't put them in a box. If you want poo-poo Van Halen, listen to Van Halen 3. Apologies to Gary, but, you know, it is what it is. Okay, well, that was quite a bit, and thank you all so much for feeling the really letting us in on the passion you feel, whether it's for the song or not for the song. I love it. I love seeing all perspectives. That's what we appreciate about you. That's what I ask for. So thank you all so much. And hey, again, listeners, if you also feel the same passion and you really wish that I would lose breath speaking it and preaching it on air, the things that you say, the words, the passionate words you feel, join our Patreon and you get on the Discord and you can say what you want, really. It's pretty open. It's that simple. We'll find a tier for you if what you see doesn't come up to your liking, but I guarantee you'll find a tier, and we can make it for you though if you want a different tier. We're easy like that. Whew. I'm having a time, Corey. You may have to take over after this. Oof,
well,
my brain's
what?
Hurting.
Well, you don't have to think too much right now because it's manifestation time. Let's do it, boys.
Woo!
Raise your glasses. Right. It's time to figure out what song we're going to be playing this week here.
Hmm. Well, speaking of Poo Poo Van Halen, as I just mentioned, Van Halen 3, everybody is trying real, real hard to... As you guys know from last week's show and all the talk on OU812, once we finish a full album, we go live, and we are very, very close to finishing several other Van Halen albums, including the infamous Van Halen 3 that for whatever reason just keeps eluding us, and I don't know why. So everyone is trying their damnedest to manifest that last track. And let's see if anything changed from that. And what I'm looking at, no, not so much. So, but Scott Monroe, on the other hand, he is manifesting Pleasure Dome Fuck, is how he puts it. And that's a little, that's a gag from last week's episode. So go check that out if you want context for that. So Pleasure Dome, he wants Pleasure Dome. He's trying to bring us back to the Fuck album. Not mad about it.
Nope.
Corey might be, but
no.
And of course, here it goes. We got Josh with Josephina, Chasmataz with Josephina, of course, because chaos. And Jeff Brewer says, after last week, I think something with a little bit more testosterone is in order. So he wants Atomic Punk. Look, man, yeah, whatever. Just like testosterone, like, come on. Anyway, balance release day anniversary equals deja vu is what Tom Armbruster says. So that's what he wants. Michael Triplett wants House of Pain. He's going to manifest that. Josh came back with Josefina. He really, really wants to manifest that last one. Greg Zito says, just get it over with and manifest Josefina. He's just like, we're all just succumbing to it. And then Michael comes back. No. That's just a commentary. Yeah. But yeah, so there you go. A lot of Josefinas, and there's a few different ones here and there. Michael, how about you, though? What's you're on the show. You're our loyal patron and extended panelist. So what do you want to hear?
I want to hear some Jamie's crying.
All right.
Aha.
Yeah. Van Halen won.
That'll be Wouldn't the second be time we it. Roll that one.
Yeah, that's true. And if we roll it again, we must listen to it. That's right. That is my decree. No more caveats. We can't, or mulligans. We just can't do it anymore. There's not enough time.
I tell you, next week we're getting Darren Paltrowitz from the DLR cast and the writer of the book.
Oh, shit, you're right.
How David Lee Roth Changed the World. If we spin a Sammy track, are we going to make him listen to it, or are we going to spin until we get a Dave?
You know, we'll discuss it.
Okay.
We'll discuss it. I don't know. Like, I know everyone's going to come after me if we spin a Sammy tune.
Bring it on.
And we have, and I'll be like, okay, we're going to spin it again. Like, Mark, you're such a hypocrite. Like, I know. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Corey, what about you? What do you want to manifest for the show tonight?
Well, I was in the same frame of mind as my buddy Tom in the Discord server, because today, as we're recording this, January 24th is the 29th anniversary of Balance. And we have two Balance tracks left on the wheel. He manifested the one I was originally going to go for, Take Me Back. So I'm going to go for the other one. I think it's time for Wham Bam Amsterdam tonight. That's what I'm going to manifest.
Ooh,
is Chrissy home?
That would be fun. No. I know, that's the thing. I was gonna say it would be fun, but it would also be tragic because she's not here to commentary. However, I do believe she will be. This might be a spoiler, or this might be a huge letdown. I'm not sure, but as of this moment, I believe she will be in attendance for the live show. So
excellent. Good.
Yeah, so if we do spin Amsterdam tonight, we can talk about that. We can go. We can do like a quick sidebar and have her discuss how she feels about it. So, tonight, however, do me a favor, Corey. Let me get a bigger look at that wheel to see what we got.
There you
left
go.
Here.
I'll embiggen the wheel for you.
I don't have all the songs memorized.
I can tell you in the chat, Scott Everett says, "Yes, you must listen to a Dave Lee Roth track, even though he was an asshole this week." So. There you go. For Darren Paltrowitz, we'll listen to a Dave track next week.
Oh, if that is the if I can talk about how big of an asshole he is, then yeah, totally. It's fine. You know what? I'd like to hear House of Pain as well. I think it's time. I think it's time to get 1984. Done with. Not that I'm in a rush to be done with it. It's just like I think it's just time, which means we probably won't spin that. We will probably spin the one everybody else wants us to rip off the Band-Aid and get it over with. However, I am manifesting House of Pain, so there you go.
All right.
And then I can talk shit about Dave while we do it. But let's see, there are three of us here. How many lurkers we got, Corey?
Currently we have 7.
All right. You want to prime that thing 10 times?
10 times. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. If everybody's ready, let's do this thing.
Here we go.
Pleasure Dome Fuck. Here we go.
Pleasure Dome Fuck. Yes.
That's for you, Shats. I think it was Shats on the call last week who said, because on the wheel, for all the listeners, all the people on YouTube can see, I put the acronym for the album beside the track name, so everybody kind of knows. And Pleasure Dome comes from For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. So on the wheel, it's Pleasure Dome Fuck. We also have The Dream Is Over Fuck, which makes more sense. But
yeah. Both make sense to me. It's great.
Shaz wanted, he manifested last.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Week, pleasure don't fuck. And it was just a week off. He got it this week instead.
Well, it had, we've come to it, Corey. We've come to another track. We both adore For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. Mm-hmm. You have been quite verbal in the tracks that you are not looking forward to discussing, Spanked being one of them, and I do believe Pleasure Dome was the other. So this will be interesting. I can't wait to go into this and have a discussion.
I think it's going to be a gooder, and I may surprise you with my thoughts on Pleasure Dome, but we've talked quite a bit, Mark, about our histories with For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. Michael, tell us a little bit about your entry into For Unlawful.
So that's when I started buying Van Halen albums the day they came out. I would be at the record store when they opened it and get it. And I was, you know, I went to the Right Here, Right Now concert where they filmed that. And they basically did this album start to finish, except this was an instrumental, which is a good move for the band. Instrumentally, it's fantastic. But I love the album. And it's one of my favorite. Maybe I go back and forth between that, Know You, It, When, Two, and my favorite Sam album. The only other thing I would add is back in it, I know you guys know the VH links, the message boards for Van Halen fans. But before that, Van Halen had one on their own official site called the Pleasure Dome. And this is when the internet was kind of starting. It's like 95, 96, 98. And they had the Pleasure Dome and people were criticizing the band and they didn't like it. So they got rid of the whole thing. And then fans took it upon themselves to make like VH links and those kind of things. So they did call that the Pleasure Dome.
What do you say?
That is a Pleasure Dome. I'll tell you what a Pleasure Dome is. It's me in a room listening to Van Halen. So what say you? Why don't we do that? Why don't we get our Pleasure Dome started?
All right. Let's take it all the way back to one of our favorite records from way back, June 17th, 1991. This is the fifth track off of For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. This is Pleasure Dome. Woo. It kind of feels like we take a big left turn there because we do. This is actually a song that was cobbled together from three different riffs that Eddie had. There was an intro lick that he wrote a few years before OU812 and then a different riff that he wrote during the OU812 tour. It was actually Alex that kind of put it all together. So the fact that this kind of morphed into his drum solo on the For Unlawful tour is kind of apropos. Because Alex really is playing the shit out of this too. Like you heard it in the beginning here, but he really gets into it as we go along too.
As well, he should.
When I played this record and this song came on, I would play this little part over and over again because Eddie's riff is just fantastic. And then sometimes I may, skip the track and go to the next one, but that beginning's fantastic.
It really is. And Michael Triplett has pretty much summed up my thoughts going into this. Not hating on Sammy, but this would make a great instrumental because it does. Try listening to the track again with an open mind, but and that's kind of where I'm coming into it too. Like my recollections of this is that Sammy really kind of ruins this tune, but as an instrumental, it works fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. That's the issue. That's what we're going into.
Yeah. But again, open mind. We'll see if getting lost in the pleasure dome will tickle my fancy here tonight. Let's find out.
It does seem like Sammy's trying, you know, Roth would always maybe talk some lyrics and it worked when Roth did it. This seems like it's Sammy, like, I'm going to try doing that. And I mean, whether it works or not, we'll discuss that. But it seems like this is his first attempt at doing what Roth did for years prior.
It's almost like he's going for something kind of high concept lyrically in his delivery here. And I just don't know if it's working. Now I know. None of this was planned. It all just kind of happened. I got more than I wanted, but how is still a mystery. Seems a little too high concept for the guy who wrote, Cherries on Bananas. I need a second helping.
You see, look, he's capable of many things. Yeah, again, you can't put Sammy Hagar in a box.
Although after this song, you may want to. Let's keep going.
Well, maybe. To hell with Sammy's lyrics aside, whatever. No. The heroes, and I say heroes, of this track already is the rhythm section. It's Alex and Mikey. Like, holy shit, are they doing? Like, I forgot. Like, I have put all of my listening of Van Halen away for this show unless we cover it. Like, and then I can listen to it again, but everything else. So it's been a very hot minute since I've kicked on Pleasure Tome, and I forgot where Alex and Mikey like take this thing. So you know what? Say what you want about Sammy in this song, or you can praise even Eddie doing what he's doing, and that's fine, that's fair. But honest to God, the heroes of Pleasure Tome are Mikey and Alex, because holy shit, they're doing so much.
His harmony is great. Mikey's harmony is miles away. Is really nice.
Always, yeah.
Yeah. To me, that was kind of, when you're talking vocally, the real standouts are the Miles and Miles. That kind of bridge going into the chorus. Really, really nicely done. Just going back into the chat. Didn't someone call this? Scott Monroe absolutely called this. Pleasure Dome Fuck. Yeah, he's now a member of the Manifestation Club. If he wasn't before, I don't remember offhand, but he's now a member, along with Mark and myself and a few other really, really cool people. So go pick up a shirt in the Podcast Will Rock web store. Jeff Brewer says, the music is really cool in this song. This song is a great instrumental. Absolutely. Love the drums in this song. 100%. Drums are phenomenal in this song. They did play it as an instrumental to bridge the bass and drums on the tour. They absolutely did. Yeah. Jeff, guitar is okay also. Yeah, I guess you got to have to mention that when you're talking about a Van Halen tune. They mentioned that they cleaned up the vocals in the remaster. We are listening to the 2023 remaster, so maybe that's why they're a little bit cleaner. Jeff says, yes, I cannot put Sammy in a high concept box. You're absolutely correct about that. High concept and Sammy are two words that just don't go together. Scott Monroe says, I'd like to hear an edit that removes Sammy's spoken verses. Just need the pre-chorus and the chorus. You know what? Ditch the chorus too, and I think I'm good. The pre-chorus is really good, but the whole loss in the Pleasure Dome just always kind of fucking lost me. So that's kind of where we stand in the chat. Let's get back to being lost in the Pleasure Dome, shall we? Okay, we get real quick, lost in my own Pleasure Dome. I know what a Thunder Dome is. I know Tina Turner and a really short guy and a really big guy reside in the Thunder Dome. But who's in the Pleasure Dome? What is your own Pleasure Dome? Again, we're going
to
get
you want it to be.
The Sammy Hagar high concept box. What's he singing about here?
Look, man, he's lost in his own Pleasure Dome because it's essentially, at least in my interpretation here, is like he's tuning out the outside distractions, and he's in his own little dome, his own little world where he's going to do the things that make him happy. You could call it Pleasure Dome. I mean, you could take it down the sexual route if you want to, because maybe that's also part of the Pleasure Dome. Whatever makes you happy. Yeah.
The groupie scene, being in his own Pleasure Dome, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I think that's what his Pleasure Dome.
Lost in the world, so far from home. He's like miles and miles from nowhere. But he's in this bubble, as it were, like dome, bubble, whatever you want to call it, of being, you know, the red rocker, the rock star that he is.
I think it's hard to get out of it too. Like once you're in it, it's hard to get out of it and go back and forth. Like you have to kind of make a decision there.
Right. Yeah, just ask Roth.
Yeah, right.
No, it makes sense. And in this verse, he has a line, I want my control back, but I'm afraid I'll lose that feeling. So that kind of ties into what you guys are saying, too.
There it is. So, yeah, that line's kind of like a middle finger to the studio system, I think, or just the way shit's handled. You know, like, want my control back, but I don't want to lose, you know, what I got here. Because, you know, if you step out of line, you're just like, he could be replaced. Maybe that's his commentary of going like, I know I can be replaced because I replaced the other guy who was irreplaceable. So, you know, everyone's expendable at this point, except for, you know, the two guys who named the band, you know, it's like, we're all expendable. And like, and Sammy Sands, like, I like the lifestyle that I have. I like what we're, you know, what I'm doing. I'm comfortable. I'm happy. I get pleasure in this bubble or dome, as it were. I don't want to leave that behind. I just, you know, sometimes shit gets complicated.
Yeah.
All right. Let's keep going. Man, I ain't got a clue how to get out or how to find this place. If you couldn't appreciate Alex Van Halen as a drummer coming into this, listen to what he's doing on this track. My God.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like this, the rhythm section, but especially Alex too. I mean, like I really, really dig what Mikey's doing, but Alex is just carrying this thing on his back.
He is. But then I think right now, Eddie's about to do this just insane riff. And kind of takes control of everything back.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he is Eddie. And, you know, can't... it's kind of like... It goes back to that little joke that we always make when Eddie does something rad and Alex is being subtle, but then sometimes Alex will come back at you with something else just to remind you, hey, I'm a Van Halen too. Watch this shit, you know? And then here we go with Alex just taking the reins and be like, I got something for you. Yeah. Pleasure Dome. Da, da, da. You know, he's just running track back there. And, you can't keep Eddie down because he's like, okay, I see you, but I'll raise you
this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Always my favorite parts of the song. Let's get into it here. Oh, and that's my favorite part of the song by far. Eddie sounds great. Mikey, for the most part, it sounds like he's just trying to keep up. But then at the end of that solo, he's putting some pretty cool shit in there, too. And then Alex is just absolutely killing it. Phenomenal section.
I just, that, however you feel about the song thus far, I don't know how you deny that at least this section just smokes. It's just like, it's just smoke, man.
It does sound fire. Good too. You can tell the remaster. It did help.
100%.
Not that it was broken before, but it's enhanced.
It is.
Right. Now. Exactly.
If we go to the comments, Scott Everett, I feel the Ed is too low in the mix comments coming. Absolutely not. No, I thought he was sounding great in there. Like it was mixed really well. It's not really a solo that needs to rise above what everyone else is doing. It's kind of, I don't know. It fits better being on par with the drums and the bass on that, I thought.
That's just, that's a subject. I think that's a personal preference. Like, I mean, obviously we always want more Eddie in the mix because Eddie is Eddie and Eddie is doing what he do.
Yeah.
So I mean, I can understand that feeling. And there are moments of this section in particular where even I was thinking like, oh man, I wish he was just a little bit louder here. Like when he does that opening dive bomb, I was just like, you know, I love a dive bomb, you guys.
Yeah.
It's just like, make that shit the loudest thing possible, but you know, it's fine. It is what it is.
It's still a pretty epic dive bomb the way it's mixed. I think it's pretty good. But I think maybe even the remaster maybe kind of helped that a little bit, bring these elements out a little bit. Michael Triplett says, great solo with bass and drums keeping up. Absolutely. And it sounds like Mikey's just running alongside until the second half of the solo. Then he's starting to go up and down.
just galloping, yeah.
And Tom, you got to have more cowbell. Got to love it whenever get a little cowbell on a track. Jamgasm achieved, says Scott Monroe. Cannot agree more. That is by far the best part of the song. Unfortunately, we still have almost 2 minutes left because one of the knocks on Pleasure Dome is it's way too fucking long. Lost in a world. You get the impression he's miles and miles. I mean, we just had a whole verse of just the word miles. Like, fuck, come on, man. Cut that out and end the song a minute early. Jesus.
We are not going to get into the conversation of repeated phrases, okay? Because, like, that's kind of their bread and butter. It's repeated phrases.
Come on.
Their choruses are literally just the title of the song most of the time.
And it's still not as lazy as just repeating miles and miles and miles for 40 fucking seconds. Anyways.
What a great riff.
See, and you were worried it was going to go on forever. Like, that 2 minutes went out like that. You kidding me? You know why? Because the song just, it doesn't really stop. There's no moment of pause. There's no, respite or anything like that. It just keeps going. So, it's just like just a full-on drive. So, there you go. Pleasure Dome. We finally did it. We finally hit it. And it just the Van Halen gods must have either smiled or at least smirked down upon us, because everyone was hoping for something else. And they're like, no, y'all ain't done with Sammy yet. So, here we are. Pleasure Dome from the Fuck album that Corey and I love so dearly. But my question is, do you guys love it dearly? Michael, did you love it dearly? Did Pleasure Dome achieve pleasure status for you, or is the bubble just burst? What I mean to say is, Pleasure Dome, is it what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
Yeah, so that's interesting. I haven't listened to this song in a while, just like you, Mark. And I kind of going into it, I thought I was going to downvote it. And it listening to it more deeply, it changed my mind. It's just too good instrumentally. And Sammy sings it well when he actually sings and doesn't talk, that I just can't vote it down. It's interesting, though, you know, it was with Roth and Sammy that Ed would hand in music and then they would come back with lyrics. So Ed hands Sammy this music, which is incredible music. And then Sam comes back with Pleasure Dome. I would like to see what Ed's reaction to that was. What, like, this fuck? Is what you come back with this music. But it's kind of border. I mean, I don't like the lyrics. I get what he's saying now. So it's not like up for breakfast bad or anything like that, but it's not his best by any means either. So, but the rest of the band is just too good to downvote it.
There you go. There's a one upvote. Pleasure Dome met Michael's pleasures. There you go. But the fuddy duddy has arrived. And this is, again, this was one that, yeah, because you were not so keen. You were very vocal about how not keen on doing this song you were. So, fuck, indeed, Lars, indeed, because Lars could never play this in his wildest dreams.
Oh, God,
he could never play
it.
he could try, and boy, what a train wreck that would be. No apologies. I said what I said. But Corey, Pleasure Dome, after all this time and after all the thought processes and now with a fresh perspective, does Pleasure Dome meet your pleasure, or does it still just fall short?
I tell you, close. The song was always 50-50 to me because I love the music so much, but Sammy's doing his absolute best to ruin this track. To me, what kind of tipped it, the bridge is really good, and it sounds really good. Oh, fuck, the lyrics are dumb. I mean, I'm going to come right out. I'm doing a season of Ultimate Catalog Clash right now. We're doing 90s Metallica, and James Hetfield as a lyricist, how he tells a story versus how Sammy Hagar tells a story, it's night and day. it's night and day. Like, I can break down James Hetfield lyrics all day. I know exactly what he's singing about and the story he's trying to tell. Sammy's just, he's just not there. And there, that's no knock on him. I certainly couldn't write a song as good as James Hetfield. And I'm tempted to try and write a song as bad as Sammy Hagar lyrically. But he's singing it well, but the band is just so great. And it, just like Michael said, to me, it was always like, the music on this is so great. And I had this mental image in my head, Michael, when you were saying, like, you know, they present Sammy with the music and he comes back the lyrics. And when they came back with Pleasure Dome, Alex is like, maybe I'll just make this the fucking drum solo on tour, because we're not going to have him up there in front of a mic going lost in this Pleasure Dome. I wonder if I have a vocal effect.
You should.
Lost in this Pleasure Dome.
Like, fuck off. Like, that's terrible. But there's enough musically going on that really, really saves, especially that solo section. So damn good. I just want to go to the comments where we get to Mark's vote. Scott Everett says, this is where I feel like Sammy just gave up and said, you guys take it. Whatever. Fuck, I don't care. Michael Triplett says, thanks, Corey. You said what I was debating on typing. See, somebody out there agrees with me. Scott Monroe is revising his edit suggestions. Ditch the spoken verses and chorus. Yes. Keep only the pre-chorus, bridge singing, and end the song right after the solo. You got a solid track. And I think that's absolutely right. But then you might miss the magic at the end of the track, Scott Everett points out. So you maybe kind of want a little bit of that, because we have that kind of riff going. Dun, 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 that at the end, that was really, really good. Jeff Brewer sums it up pretty well. I don't mind the length. I do mind the lyrical stylings of Sam, which is what my wife says in bed every single night. Michael Triplett says, maybe Pleasure Dome is why things got tense with Balance. Well, yeah, you absolutely never know. But yeah, I don't know. It doesn't work in a lot of ways, but it works in just enough to make it What Dreams Are Made Of for me. But Mark Meyer, you're next. Big Sammy guy, will not take any Sammy slander. Loved Up for Breakfast, gave it 2 big thumbs up, if I remember correctly. I'm sure that's not the whiskey talking. But Pleasure Dome.
None of us did.
Pleasure Dome, Scott, or sorry, Pleasure Dome, Mark Meyer, is this what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
It strikes me that of all the times we had discussed you not wanting to talk about Pleasure Dome and how you were worried about it, and again, it had been a hot minute since I listened to it. Part of my thinking was, oh God, is it not as good as I remember? Am I remembering the song wrong? Is this because, like, Corey doesn't seem into it? Like, I wonder, is this going to break my heart when we listen to it? Upon listening to this, I'm convinced. You're out of your mind. This song was awesome. Like, Pleasure Dome's awesome. It cooks from, like, the moment it starts, and it just keeps on going. Like, the only, like I mentioned, there's no real respite. It's like a continuous drive. The only real respite really is in the intro. And that's, I don't even think you can count that as a respite. It's just a very calm, collected intro until Alex says, fuck that. And then we just, like, really kick into it. Now lyrically, look, again, I might give Sammy a pass more than the rest of you do, unless it's something atrocious, a la Up for Breakfast. Everyone loves to mention it, so let's go ahead and say it. It's like, yeah, that is probably his weakest lyrically ever. And does he have the best lyrics of all the hits that he's performed? Probably not. Do they all make sense? Not all of them. Some of them do. I'll be honest, I was reading the lyrics along with the song, and as we were kind of discussing what we think this might be about, it made sense to me. I don't think they're that dumb. He's certainly written dumber lyrics for would be better songs. You know what I mean? So it just, again, there's some on OU812 that are really rocking songs, and some of those lyrics are absolute horseshit. I'll say it. But Sammy sings the hell out of it, and that goes a long way. Pleasure Dome, the whole band is just, I mean, everybody is just putting in just some serious work. And, you know, lyrically, I think this is one of those examples where you can give it a pass lyrically, because you're not paying attention. The lyrics are not important in this song. What's important is the musicality in this song. More importantly, the rhythm section. I'm gonna keep harping on it because like Alex and Mikey are just unstoppable in this. And then you throw in the added flavor of Eddie Van Halen doing, you know, the most Eddie Van Halen, maybe not the most, but quite a bit. Doing what he does best, man. That's the solo rips and it roars. And does it take away from the song? No, it fits. Matter of fact, it seasons it even more than it was already seasoned. Lyrics be damned, don't care. This song is absolutely, it's a pleasure, may I say. And yeah, so I don't know, Corey. I think all this time, I love that you upvoted it because you just even through the maybe the whatever mindset you had on this song beforehand, it still couldn't be outweighed by just the sheer intense awesomeness of the musicality of it all. So maybe that made your heart grow three sizes afterwards.
That's why we do this show. That's why we listen with a fresh
exactly
perspective
why we do
every
it.
Single time. I go in with an open mind on every single thing. And I always really like
you
the music.
Did.
I love when Pleasure Dome comes up when I'm listening to live right here, right now, because it's all the best parts. Of that song, minus Sammy Hagar. But you know what?
I don't want to pick a fight.
I'm not.
What
pick
did
a fight.
You think of when Sammy kind of talks the lyrics?
Yeah, because that sucks.
I'm curious.
That's probably my least favorite part of the song, but it's short. You know, if he had done it for like a really long time, I would have been bothered by it, and I would have been like, okay, well, Sammy, I don't know what the fuck you're doing. This time, I'm like, that was a mistake. You shouldn't have done that, but I'm glad you didn't do it more. I'm glad once you did it, that was it. He didn't go back to it. There wasn't a refrain of him doing, a spoken word. It's like, you're not the Henry Rollins band. Don't do that. Don't do that. But he did it. He just did it for a few lines and then cut right into it. And then, I mean, did what Sammy does, man, just sang the hell out of it. So I'm not a fan of that first little bit of what Sammy's doing, but everything after that, psh, golden pony boy. Absolutely. So Pleasure Dome is what dreams are made of across the board. But again, you guys, let us know what you thought about it when the show is up. So that means the poll's got to be up, unless I forgot it. And if I did forget, I'm sure one of you will remind me, hey, Mark, put the poll up, you moron. Like, okay, I will do that. So yeah, another one off the wheel. That's 15 more tracks, man. 15, only 15. Jesus.
Yep, coming down to it. And one left
crazy,
now,
man.
On Four Unlawful, just The Dream Is Over is the last one we have to do from that record.
All right. So no, these last few spins are going to be really interesting. We're going to get a lot of live shows coming up because of we're just finishing albums, man. Yeah, we got as we mentioned at the top of the show, if you're listening to this on Friday tonight, live streaming, did we decide on a time?
9 Eastern, always 9 Eastern.
9 Eastern, thank you. Yeah, cool. Just making sure. At 9 Eastern, join us on the YouTube channel and the podcast will rock while we discuss and rank the tracks from OU812, since that is the last one that we finished. We are very close. We only have one song left for Van Halen 3, 1984, and now Four Unlawful Carnal Knowledge.
Van Halen 2 as well.
There you go.
We just have somebody get me a doctor on that one. So yeah, Diver
yeah,
Down.
So
we
it's
still
gonna,
got
yeah,
a,
these...
a couple left. So yeah, I think those are the only ones with one track right now. Balance has two.
All right. So
Van Halen 3 has one. Yeah.
It's sudden death for a few of these albums. So, yeah, like I said, a lot of live shows are going to be coming up soon. So that means you guys got to get on over to the YouTube and make your voices heard. Let us know. Be part of the show if you're not already. And also, if you really want to be part of the show, just like our friend Michael Griffith over here, join the Patreon. Find a tier that's right for you. And if we don't have something that you really wish we did, let us know. We can make that happen for you. So get on over to Patreon. As I think it's like patreon.com/podcastwillrock, something like that.
It is, yeah.
There you go. So, and while you're at it, you guys, we've mentioned t-shirts and merch and all that jazz. Go to podcastwillrock.com. We have all of our backlog episodes posted up there. We also have a link to our merch store for TeePublic, so you can find yourself an Apologies to Gary t-shirt and help me grow the army of all of you wearing these shirts and confuse the hell out of Gary Cherone, because that just it doesn't not make me laugh every time I think about it. Just the idea of him seeing so many people wearing the same shirt going like, well, okay, what the hell is this? What's going on? And I just really want him to tune in and find us out. And we only have so many episodes left. So the clock is ticking. So help me make my dream a reality. Get yourself a shirt. And if you don't want that shirt, we've got plenty of other shirt designs in our merch store, courtesy of our good friend Kevin Brown, who always manages to come up with some really awesome stuff like Van Halen cheese. We love Van Halen cheese. You know, give me all. I love all the cheese, but if it's Van Halen brand, I'm way, way into it.
That's
there
right.
You go.
Brand new to the store coming this week, Van Halen brand cheese in honor of When It's Love. So thank you very much, Kevin Brown, for that great design. It'll be up later this week.
Hell yeah, yeah. You'll notice a lot of our shirts are inside joke based. And see, that's the thing. If you listen to the show, like you know where these come from. So get yourself these shirts, wear them out in public, and people will look and go, what does that even mean? You go, ah. You got to check out this show. You like Van Halen? Of course you do. Check out this podcast about Van Halen and you'll know. And the army will just continue to grow. Look, just because we only have 15 songs left in the on the wheel doesn't mean that necessarily this is the end of Corey and I's journey. So you got to keep the spirit up and keep the motivation going, man, because we're doing it. Michael Griffith, man, always a pleasure. Thank you for being here once again. You can be like Michael, join the special tier in our Patreon, and you too can be part of the show when we record it. Michael, tell the people what you got going on and where they can find you if they want to hit you up.
At Mike S. Griffith on X or Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Talk Van Halen. Be on the Discord too. So that's love that.
I think that's really the gem of the Patreon, really, is that you get access to the Discord and the conversations are always going. There's always fun conversations, not just strictly Van Halen based, all sorts of conversations. You guys crack me up. Sometimes I don't even post in there a lot of times. I'm just reading what you guys are saying and just enjoying the conversations and reacting because it's like, I don't know. I like being a fly on the wall. So join the Patreon and you get on the Discord and you get to see what everyone's talking about. So be like Michael Griffith here. He's the gold standard. Corey Morissette, always a pleasure, my guy.
Yes, sir.
So what if people want to listen to shows, if they enjoy what we do, where else can they find really cool shows that might be of similar fashion?
Well, I tell you what, we got just the place for them. It's the Deep Dive Podcast Network. I always think we need music on this segment, and this is one of the few songs I have queued up.
This is what you choose? Okay.
I could have played Best of Both Worlds, but then people would think we're playing Best of Both Books, which we're not tonight, but we should bring that back again real quick. So we're going to play a little Beautiful Girls. We're going to talk about the Deep Dive Podcast Network, featuring such great shows as the two Backtrack shows, which are now wrapped up, Backtrack's Theme Music and Backtrack's Aerosmith Revisited. You can check out all the old shows wherever you get your podcast from. But we're still doing the Ultimate Catalog Clash, Kevin Brown and myself, breaking down this season Metallica, 90s Metallica to be exact. We just dropped our first episode from Load Side A this week. I tell you, Load takes a lot of shit. Does it deserve it? Find out by joining us on the Ultimate Catalog Clash. And rate along with us. We have a special rating system for that show. And I know one of our patrons who is compiling the rankings for OU812 actually used our voting system for the Ultimate Catalog Clash to help him with the middle section of their rankings. So we're saving lives left and right. We're doing the Lord's work over at the Ultimate Catalog Clash. Check us out. Of course, Kevin Brown also does the Tom Petty Project, Seaside Pod Review with Randy Woods. Scott Haskin does Uriah Heep, the Magician's Podcast. That's wrapped up for right now until Uriah Heep does another record. Then we have Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast, The Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered, Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts, Rye at Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Paul, Joe, and David at In the Lap of the Pods. That one's wrapped up as well, but you can catch all the old episodes wherever you get your podcast, and I highly recommend it. Very entertaining show. Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge, Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z, Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madmen, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast, Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast, George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast, Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast, Greg and Jonathan at So Far, So Pod, So What, Quentin at Volume for All, Sav, Nick, Steve, and Mark at the Rock Roulette Podcast. I think they just spun New Jersey by Bon Jovi. I'm really looking forward to that show because that's an album that takes me back to my childhood, so I'm looking forward to that one. And then we have the Chaz Universe Podcast, Chaz and Greg at Regarding Lulu, Chaz and Chats as Rush Rash, Chaz and Wolfie at Regarding Rogers, and soon Chaz Wolfie and Scott Monroe at Regarding Van Halen 3, which Mark and I are going to be guests on. We were given our track, and I'm very, very excited to talk about that song once again on a podcast. So that'll be coming up in the spring. And then, of course, we have our good buddies.
It's not once, is it?
You'll have to find out. Then next we have the Sean Geek and Fast Red Podcast, the DLR Cast, the Bogus Otis Show, Booked on Rock with the legendary Eric Senich, You're All Doomed, a Friday the 13th podcast, Dissect That Film, Three's Company 2, a rewatch podcast, and, of course, the one and only Pod of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting. This week, Chris Jericho is back on the show, and they did a Michael Jackson song that I'd never heard before. I was listening to that on my drive to and from work today. Very entertaining show. And if you're an MJ fan, I think Slash played on that track too. He's in the video anyway, so you may want to check out the latest episode of Pod of Thunder. Of course, they have February coming up. That's all songs in the vein of Lou Rawls. So grab your lady if you want to get tender and get down to some February coming up this month. Coming up on Pod of Thunder. And that is it for the podcast roll for this week.
Good stuff. And I'm not talking about that song you played. I'm talking about just the
You got a better shows. Idea? I can load it up for next week if you'd rather hear something else.
Literally any other extreme song at that point, you know, just than that one. Oof, swing and a miss, boys. But, you know, apologies to Gary. But, well, no, not on that one. That one's on you, bro.
Yeah.
But anywho, on behalf of Michael Griffith, myself, and Corey Morissette, we thank you all for joining in. Don't forget, if you're listening to this Friday, and of course you are, why wouldn't you be? Tonight, 9 Eastern, we are going live to talk OU812, and we're going to rank them. And I have a feeling it's going to be it's always entertaining, but I have a feeling it's going to get heated at times, and then it's probably going to be laughable at times. It's always a great time regardless, so make sure you tune in to our YouTube channel for that tonight. You're not going to want to miss it, man. I think we're going to have a really, really fun time. So looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to seeing and hearing all of you with your perspectives and with your passionate feelings. That's what we're all about here, because Corey and I, we're not rock historians, we're not experts on Van Halen, we are just simple fans enjoying the music, rediscovering the journey of this band that we like, and we're just here talking about it, much like you fans talking about the stuff that we like. That's what we're all about here on the show. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you tonight.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at OseaMalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.